Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. And Jason, once again, we find ourselves right here in between the Sundays, and we find ourselves in the same chairs.
It is indeed the same chairs that we sit in each and every week, but it's been a rainy week.
It is
not as rainy of a Wednesday as it has been a Tuesday, a Monday, yeah, a Sunday, a Saturday that had snow. Along the way last week, there was actually some warm weather, if I recall, for a moment.
It's one of those things where I don't like what I call elevator talk, where people are like, oh, how's the weather? And like, you don't care. And why are we talking? But I found myself the last couple of weeks looking at people and going, so this rain, right? Right?
Yeah.
You know,
actually feel worthy of an actual discussion.
Like, I feel like I think we've had more rain than Seattle. I think that's true. Like, I think, in terms of the amount of rain we've had versus where Seattle would get a lot of rain, we've had more, which is good. We want to win at things, I think,
sure,
as a state.
Sure, we would like to be better than the
somebody
state of Washington
in something. And so, but man, yeah, it's been something. Late last week when schools were closed and people were upset because Knox County didn't close in time. And then Sunday they were like, hey, we're going to fix this.
They were going
to, and you don't have to go to school Monday or Tuesday.
They were going
to
play it real safe. And maybe that was,
the classic call.
I was at the UT basketball game, last evening, and
great
66
game.
Total fouls called, I believe.
Awesome.
It was, hard to watch at times. Obviously, great to see the Vols win.
Yep.
But hard to watch at times because so many foul calls.
Yeah.
And yes, what you just described, makeup calls.
You gotta have those.
Were happening quite a bit. And I'm not completely certain we didn't have a few makeup calls when it comes to the weather.
I think we did. I think social media folks were upset. I even saw there was a news story about the, Knox County not closing, and somebody said, you know, hey, they do a lot of good work. Let's not go after them too much. And the actual anchor of the show tweeted back and was like, hey, yeah, we celebrate the school system a lot. If you watch our show, we're not going to sugarcoat this. This was bad. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah, they're not going to school Monday.
Oh man. Well, so as many of our listeners have heard me say, you know, my oldest son goes to Christian Academy in Knoxville. My two youngest go to North Shore Elementary School. And so, North Shore being a public school, CAK being a private school. So there's this constant, you know, like in a differing, approach, because the biggest variable is, one, you're not dealing with 60,000 students that you're trying to figure out
all across the county.
And you're not dealing with school buses. And so
the
big one is the school buses. And so my oldest son has had a few days of frustration.
I'm sure.
Is going on?
Yeah.
My brothers don't have to go to school. Yep. And I just tell him, man, like, listen, this is part of it.
Look, we picked you to go to private school, not the other one.
Yeah, that's not true.
You're the diamond in the rough.
That is not true.
We've invested all of this time.
He's just older than the other ones. That's all it is.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, when I was driving because my kids go to a bunch of yuppies. My kids go to a small Christian school as well, private school in Powell. And so last Thursday, they weren't closed, and you know, all the Knox County people were upset because Knox County hadn't closed yet. I had staff at Hope like, hey, what are we doing? Are we flooding around work? Which we, over by Tyson Park,
it does
get up and it floods and it's a mess. And so I wasn't upset because again, I wasn't putting my kids on a school bus. So I was driving them to school. Wasn't a big deal. Then they canceled school and we ended up closing at work because everybody had kids that needed to get, but also because there was a huge flooding over by Tyson Park. So I found myself I went and got the kids and we went riding and we just looked.
Nice.
And, I drove
Which
through some
like
big
the
puddles.
Which is like the very thing that they tell people to not do.
To do.
Like, hey, stay off the roads.
Yeah.
Make space for the emergency responders.
Yeah.
Do you have to follow some of the same guidelines Your van is almost
stop
the size.
At all railroad crossings.
Your van's almost the same size as the school bus?
No.
Do you have to follow the same rules? I don't. And
approach but here's an
weather?
Interesting thing. Over in Carnes on, let's see, maybe early Friday morning, right as the sun was coming up, there was a 12 passenger van, same color as mine. It didn't have the black on
it. Okay, which is
it? But it had a bunch of stickers on the back windshield.
Okay.
And so some coworkers like messaged me, even called me, was like, are you okay? And I was like, what are you talking about? And they sent me this picture and it looked like my van being pulled out of high water.
It could have been your van, it sounds like.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, it wasn't me and I wouldn't have drove through that.
Correct.
I did drive through one spot that after I drove through it thought, I don't know if that was the greatest idea.
The A-team van would not be defeated.
Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Or
but
the,
it was
the
good.
Wood,
it was,
the wood team van.
It was fun. It was, you know, cause it was reminiscing. I used to drive around, look at the flooding with my dad. And so my kids got to
so
do that
irresponsible.
With me.
You're
and,
a terrible citizen.
And I was explaining to him like, hey, when you, if you don't know how deep the water is, don't drive through it. So it was a learning time as
yeah.
well for
I
my,
like
my
maybe,
8-year-old and 6-year-old.
Maybe you should expect some type of phone call from the authorities a little bit later.
I think driving what I drive anyway, I may expect a phone call from authorities. And so,
oh man. So, you know, it's interesting. We've had, you know, between flooding.
Sure.
Between also some pretty extreme weather in other parts around the country. And then all of this flu type stuff locally,
right? Just
but
flu,
then
yeah.
even globally, we see this coronavirus.
Sure, that we don't really know yet.
It has been interesting. Like I really do sense, and as much as we've joked about caution, and as we've you know talked about where do we take our vehicles and where do we not take
sure,
our vehicles
right.
and things of that sort, I really do sense, and maybe even to a certain degree, in light of the election cycle really kicking up.
Yeah,
you know it. Feels like maybe there is this growing unrest and maybe even a certain degree of fear that seems to be, you know, a little bit more notable and noticeable in our culture today. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Do you agree? You're starting to see some of that.
Yeah. Well, I think we have anytime these things occur, whether it be flu or weather events that you can't control,
right.
especially flooding, and that's what. Flooding for me, once water starts coming in your home, you can't stop it.
Right.
Like it's there.
Right.
There's no, like you can't, at least now I'm saying this understanding that when a house burns, it's tragic and terrible, but
sure.
at least the mind is I can stop a fire possibly with
right.
water or with the fire extinguisher or something like that. Once water starts coming in, so that brings about some fear. The fear of unknown. So, well, I think I can drive through this, but I can't. And then you add on top of that flu and you add on top of that, what's going on in China that's now starting to go global. And we, it's from our understanding that China knew this, coronavirus was occurring about 2 months, maybe 3 months before they let anybody know.
Right.
And so we really don't know to what extent this,
right.
we have seen it. And so there is an unknown. Well, now what you have is, well, I think I may have the flu, but could it be?
Right.
I've been on a plane lately. Could it be this? Could it be that? And there's a you can't control that. And
right.
so that's going to bring fear and anxiety and worry.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we often talk and, or at least have spoken in the past about, you know, anxiety and worry and stress and even fear to a degree about things that might feel a little bit more personal
sure.
in the sense of, you know, hey, a decision I've got to make or, a circumstance that I'm in that feels really, you know, kind of close to my family or close to my situation. But today we're talking really about things that are, bigger than us.
Right.
I mean, much, much bigger than us. And just beginning to wonder, you know, how do we respond and how do we not just exclusively retreat? Because I will tell you, you know, I've already heard from a number of folks that are saying, yeah, in fact, I talked to a buddy who just got back from Disney World last mm-hmm. week, and he actually said that he really struggled to enjoy himself because, and this was not there's no racism
sure.
in this, there's no anything of that sort, but he's clearly, you know, aware that a place like Disney World has this remarkable diversity that's represented through all these people that have traveled around
sure.
the globe to experience this thing that is supposedly magical. And yet he's also a guy that really follows up with the news and is aware of what's happening with coronavirus. And so he's like, am I getting exposed?
Right.
I mean, I personally got very, very sick 10 or 15 years ago at Disney World. And the doctor straight up told me, he said, you've probably been introduced to a virus that you've never been exposed to before.
Yeah.
And I was very, very sick. I mean, like super, super sick. And so that is a reality. And even for him, like, impacted his vacation. And I think in the same way, you know, we begin to kind of look at certain things that are going around us, even for us this last Sunday. Were you with?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, you were with us this Sunday. We chose to not do communion on Sunday. We had planned Saturday night at 9 o'clock. We decided to make the call. Well, I still kind of talked through, as you know, the elements of communion,
right.
But we chose not to offer it. We do not exactly common cup. You know, but it could probably be some germs that are shared.
Sure.
And I don't really know if, I don't know if that's the right decision or not, but I will tell you, maybe there's a little bit in me that's like beginning to want to retreat related to a number of things.
Yeah.
And I think today, I think it would be good for us just to talk and allow our listeners to process along with us of like, how do we address fear that's connected to things that are a bit out of our control? And you might say, hey, you know, you can wash your hands and you can, and again, we're not really talking about local flu here. We're talking about, you know, pandemics. We're talking about flooding that's coming from groundwater that you can't pump fast enough.
No,
you know, it's these type things. How do we address that?
Well, I think too, even when I flew back from DC a couple of weeks ago, somebody got on the plane, and they were wearing a mask. The coronavirus was really being talked about.
Right.
We were in DC, like all the news was talking about it. And somebody got on the plane wearing a mask, and you immediately thought, like, I'm a little uneasy. I started making jokes because that's how I handle my fear.
Because exactly.
I laugh and mock. And inside, I'm really
terrified.
Terrified. And so you deal with things like that, and then you watch the news and you go, well, hold on. They're welding doors shut in China.
Correct.
Then they reported the other day that a lot of these masks that people are wearing are actually made in the town in China where the coronavirus is.
Yes, correct.
And so you're like, well, that seems concerning. And so we watch these things and we try to deal with fear. And as a dad, I try to make sure my kids aren't afraid of everything while also knowing the reality is at some point we have to reach a place where we truly go, look, as much as I want to be in control of everything,
I can't.
I'm not in control.
Right.
And as soon as we allow ourselves to get to a place of understanding that, it does bring about some freedom. It doesn't take the fear away. But even this morning, I was listening to Eric Church, who's a country artist, and he has a song called Monsters. And the whole song, he begins by talking about, I killed my first monster when I was 7. And he talks about using a flashlight.
Yeah.
And then it goes further. And then it goes further. And he says that the song then says, anytime I lay down at night and I have that uneasy feeling keeping me up, I now go to my knees instead of turning on the light. And he's talking about this fear, the almost crippling fear. And even a country artist saying, look, the only way to respond to that is to get on my knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
I think also there's, I have to be careful because I don't want to like completely isolate myself from reality.
For sure.
Because
yeah.
that is my tendency or my temptation is just to like ignore it.
Yeah.
And because at times the more you learn about this stuff, the more it makes you nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you consider the actions that they are making, okay, and taking. It does not line up with the numbers that are publicly being, because we have more deaths with our flu than what they're reporting over there. But no one is
saying
welding doors
fly.
Shut.
That's and they're not welding doors shut.
No one's shutting down.
They're not spraying
ships.
The streets
That's
with
exactly
some kind
right.
of fog.
And then you start seeing the idea that reporters who have been telling the appears to be the fuller story are now going missing.
Yeah.
I mean, the more you learn about it, the more you're like, oh my goodness.
Well, and also you have this retreat mentality because for me, I would go, well, you know where the coronavirus isn't? In the Woodhouse. And so that's what we're going to do is we're going to stay in the Woodhouse and not go anywhere else. And so you have those extremes and we find ourselves trying to figure out what that looks like. And let's talk more about it when we come back. Now that'll take the fear away, Jason.
Yeah.
Come on.
A celebration.
Yeah. Now, when you were a wedding singer, is this one of the songs that you sang, or?
I
feel like this is a go-to at reception.
This would have been great. If I had been a wedding singer, man, this would be.
I will say, I say it like at all receptions, there's dancing and singing. At my reception, there was not any of that. Yeah. But I'm assuming that happens at weddings.
Yeah. So today we're talking about fear. Before we dig back into, you know, what I don't know if I would call these justified fears. You know, I think obviously the Lord doesn't want us to live in fear.
Sure, absolutely.
But some seem more like understandable. How about that?
Yeah,
okay, you know.
Yeah.
However, the question is, do you have any irrational fears? Or maybe they're not even irrational. Just like, you know, like, man, this
people
is the thing that, like, I really struggle with this.
I would say I've gotten over it a little bit as I've gotten older, but there was a time in my life. My foot was bit one when I was a kid by a brown recluse.
Okay.
Okay. And so,
that's a terrible. Fearful of being barefoot or fearful of spiders?
Spiders.
Okay.
And so that was, you know, brown recluse is terrible. Like, I had to get a lot of shots and all that. But most of the spiders you come in contact with are not going to do anything to you.
We do not live in the Sahara.
And so there were certainly moments in my life where I would see one and kind of go, I don't want to be anywhere near that spider. I think
any more common fears that you also have that a whole bunch of other people would have?
I think there are times where I think of the worst. And so for a long time, flying was a fear that I could not get over.
Yeah.
And I remember when I started working at the University of Tennessee, one of my first things is I had to go to New York.
Yeah.
And I was terrified. and I remember going to my boss and saying,
I would have loved to have been next to you. I don't know why.
I didn't fly.
Oh,
I went
gosh.
To my boss and I talked her into letting me drive. And I drove to New York City from Knoxville.
You're kidding.
And for a long time, that's what I did. And all my travels at UT, I never flew until finally I was like, this is ridiculous. And so
I would have loved to have been next to you on that first flight just to be able to poke fun of you a little bit.
You know, it's not, and again, now I've embraced God's sovereignty.
Yes.
So anytime I fly, I just know, look, whatever happens.
Yeah.
But the way I deal with the fear, like I've had flights before where I felt like, again, I'm not a pilot, but I felt like we were coming in hot. Like we were going a little too fast to be landing.
You got a pretty good gauge on
and
that.
And so here's how I deal with that is laughter and mocking.
Yes.
And that doesn't make the people around me feel good.
No.
Because I'm laughing out loud as it feels, everybody feels like we're going too fast. One story about flying one time when I was at UT, this is a name drop. I was sitting across from former athletic director Dave Hart.
Yes.
On the flight.
Yes.
And we were in a small plane, and so we're flying to Texas, and in a small plane, you go through turbulence, you really feel it.
Yep.
And so we were going through turbulence, and again, I'm wanting to laugh, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm sitting across from Dave Hart, I need to keep my cool, and I couldn't keep my cool. Mm-hmm. I just started laughing, but he was turning all kinds of shades of white. I could tell he was scared out of his mind. He kept asking the pilot, is everything okay? It was bouncing us out of our seats, and I thought, Dave Hart's going to throw up on me, and that's going to be a story that I get to tell my kids one day.
But now you just tell a story that Dave Hart almost threw up on me.
But flights for a long time, flying terrified me.
That's okay. I've got a little bit of – it's odd that I have a fear of heights, but not a fear of flying. I know, interesting. Huh?
Which that's when you're going to go the highest.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre.
Flying in a plane.
Like almost no fear of flying.
Interesting.
I think it's that sovereignty piece
helps,
I kind of feel like. But then on the other hand, I also feel like I'm secure, like I can't do anything about it. Like I feel and like no one crazy passengers could like throw me off the plane.
True.
But I don't like being on like a ledge near anyone that I don't know.
Or ziplining.
Yeah. I mean, even like roller coasters I'm fine with.
Okay.
Because I'm secure. I'm locked in. I know it can be irrational.
So if you're standing at like a Subway, you're afraid somebody's going to push you in front of the train.
Like a Subway restaurant?
No.
Okay.
No. So, like in New York City.
Yes, I would not be anywhere near the edge. None, because that's, I wouldn't trust others.
That's funny. That's can see that. Well, I appreciate that because I would. Strange. My dad has kind of taught me to always sit where you see the door.
Yeah,
don't stand near a ledge of anywhere, especially people around you, because they are probably going to push you.
Correct. Yeah, because that's because they're all planning on
on pushing you over that edge. Yeah.
So, anyways, thinking about things that might push us over the edge.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, you like that, don't
that's
you?
That's good.
No, I mean, when we do think about some of these larger, and they're not always global, but some of these just larger things that seem to, that they can really wreak havoc on, I mean, to a certain degree, as we're seeing with coronavirus, I mean, humanity as a whole, you know, but let's talk about flooding, even that we experienced last year. Now, granted, we're experiencing flooding to an extent these days. But if you look at the flood that we had last year, where
terrible,
you know, homes are underwater and things of that sort, you know, it is easy to potentially begin to live and kind of always waiting for the next thing.
Yep.
And I think that's where I'm trying to really avoid being. You know, as I said before the break, the more that you learn about some of this stuff, the more that it can make you nervous. On the other hand, I don't want to be naive. I don't want to just have my head in the sand. But I don't want to always be living in fear of what could be coming, nor do I want to exaggerate or exacerbate, I should maybe say, in my own mind, things that are already in play, you know? And so as Christ followers, you've mentioned sovereignty. Talk a little bit about, you know, how that has helped you, the idea of what, you know, even what sovereignty is, but how does that help you?
Well, I think for me, and I get it, like saying, you know, well, you're just preaching at me. And yeah, of course it's easy to just say God's sovereign and go on about your life. But for me, like just for the flying thing, like it was debilitating.
Right.
It was me at work and being told, I need you to get on a plane, and me going, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right.
I'm not doing that because I'm what if it goes down, and thinking the worst.
Right.
And so I finally, praying through that, had to go, okay, God, I believe you're sovereign in every aspect of my life, but why do I not believe that to be true when I'm on an airplane?
Because you believe it to be true when you're driving down the road
exactly.
in a car.
But why don't I believe it to be true on an airplane?
Right.
Why don't I believe it to be true in my marriage? Why don't I believe it to be true as a parent? Or maybe I believe it in those areas, but I don't believe it just because I stepped on this airplane.
Right.
So I walked through that and through prayer and just going, okay, God, if I believe you're sovereign, then you have to be sovereign now. And it was interesting when I finally recognized that, the freedom that came with that was very similar to the moment when I was growing up and I used to think my parents were going to get a divorce, and I thought it and I thought it and I thought it. And then one day I asked my mom, we were in the car, and I said, they had been in an argument, and I said, are y'all going to get a divorce? And my mom looked at me and said, yes. And I remember thinking in that moment, even at 14, going, man, I've wasted a lot of time worrying about this, and it changed nothing.
Right.
And so that brought a sense of freedom in that moment as a 14-year-old going, okay, I can't control this.
Right.
And getting on an airplane, I can't control this. The same way thinking about this virus, that doesn't mean we don't put barriers up and be smart, but it also means that ultimately, I'm going to trust that God is sovereign over this. This disease didn't surprise him. None of this surprises him. We're going to, through common grace, he's given us doctors and people that are in leadership roles to make sure that certain things are happening to prevent it. And we're going to make sure as a family that we can prevent it. But ultimately, we're going to trust that God is sovereign over this.
And I think where we have to, you know, in the book of Jude, it talks about to not use grace as a license for immorality. And I think almost in a similar principle, you know, that's obviously talking about forgiveness of sin and things of that sort, and how God's grace should point us towards obedience. So if we don't use grace as a license for immorality, I don't think you also use sovereignty as a license for carelessness.
Right.
You know, like I'm going to be wise. I can't just live frivolously.
Right.
And just, you know, flippantly and just say, well, listen, God's going to do whatever he's going to do. You know, you're like, he also, I think he's honored when we also use wisdom.
Yep.
You know, and when we use caution, when caution is warranted. And so when we come back from the break, I want us to actually think a little bit more, not so much about sovereignty, But the idea that we also really can address fear on a practical basis. You know, like how do we call it out? How do we identify it? And how do we work through it? We'll be back.
I'm ready.
Gonna the rest of the show we're just gonna play some Southern rock, classic rock.
You've gone to a motion that our listeners can't see, but you're playing the keys on the desk.
I like acting like I can play,
right?
But I can't play.
As I say, you clearly by the
way you're
moving.
But I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at making it look
really
like. Yeah.
You think it looks good.
I think I'm pretty good.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
I don't want to sound the alarm, but maybe not as good.
I don't know. I mean, look at this. This is how, this is how people play the piano.
For those again that obviously cannot see, his hands are always moving completely.
Together. And if I were really playing, they would be hitting all the, like 10 keys at a time. All the time. It would be very much dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
pretty good.
It's not.
My mom
not
plays. My mom teaches piano.
Yeah,
you never taught me anything, but
didn't look real close.
No, I didn't. But I like to act as if I can play. Same thing with drums. The steering wheel, Aaron hates it. My wife hates it when I use the steering wheel as a drum. But again, I can't play drums, but I feel as if I can keep a beat on the steering wheel.
Interesting.
But she that puts her, cause I've been doing it since we've been together.
Yeah.
And I haven't stopped.
Wow. So we continue to talk about fear. Just one other quick thing in here. Is it considered a fear or not? I need you to give some clarity on this. So you know how like certain people really hate the sound of like nails on a chalkboard?
Yeah.
Which is funny. Like who actually has a chalkboard anymore?
Yeah, and
we can use that expression.
Scratching their
nails. Exactly. I don't know. But it's that idea. That thing that like causes like.
Right. Like or a fork like, on a plate.
Yeah. Something like that. Mine is actually cotton. Now this is high risk here because I've got all kinds of people that will. I've got people that have known this over years and they've like put cotton balls in coat pockets and stuff. But I hate the feeling of pulling a cotton ball out of like the medicine.
I see that
thing. Like when it stretches.
Yeah.
Is that a fear?
I don't know if
or
it's
is
a fear.
That
just it's
like just a weird nuance?
Probably a nuance maybe. Because you would still do it. It wouldn't take you to the place.
I would just
of,
hate it.
Yeah. So I don't know if it would be.
Yeah, probably you're right.
Fear.
Yeah, probably not.
And the people that are listening to this that are going to do something to you about that are the same people that would push you in front of a subway train. Or push you off a cliff. Just know that.
I would like, if I could shift the narrative just a bit, rather than them pushing me into, an oncoming subway car, with cotton balls in my hand.
That'd be terrible.
I would actually prefer them to push me into a subway restaurant with a cotton sweatshirt
on. There you go. Okay.
And then I'd be fine.
Okay. I haven't ate at a subway in a long time.
So here's a crazy fun fact. We've got a buddy that I know that got sick in a subway many years ago. And legitimately, anytime he walks into a subway, he'll pass out.
So that may be a fear.
I don't know.
That's
like
something.
He passes out. It's like the scent of it.
So y'all take him to subway a lot.
So we're like, hey, here we go.
We're going. We're,
he
it's
said
a surprise
we were going
here.
To Jimmy John's. How come we're going to subway?
Trust us.
No, he actually lives in Georgia now, so I don't get it.
And he owns a subway. What a weird, story.
Only restaurants in Georgia are Chick-fil-A.
That's true.
So
that's true. He owns a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So everybody in Georgia owns a Chick-fil-A.
I guess so. He actually does work.
I believe this is true. I haven't looked it up, but I believe that every church in Georgia operates a Chick-fil-A.
I think so.
Is that true?
Or part of their tithe goes to the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, they tithe.
Okay.
Yeah,
for those of our listeners that do not pick up on sarcasm.
Yeah. There's a cooperative program, but it's Chick-fil-A cooperative.
Let me be very clear. Those are not true statements. Oh,
I think
man.
It is, Jason.
So anyways, we continue to talk about fear in light of, much larger things, whether it be flooding, whether it be, pandemics, whether it be, natural disasters of sorts, what do you feel like is our responsibility? Because we do, embrace sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
We just said that, sovereignty doesn't give us this this, you know, license just to be irrational.
To go driving the wrong side of the road or anything.
So we're not going to make just irrational decisions. Yeah. But even just like identifying and addressing fear in our life, what are just steps that you might encourage someone to take, or even just a step?
Well, I think part of it, I'm even thinking as a dad, I'm thinking, okay, I want my kids to, there's part of me that says, just tough it out. Don't be afraid of anything and just move forward. Well, if you do that, you're probably going to bottle up a lot of fear that at some point it's going to come out
right, and
maybe be debilitating.
Right.
And so I think there is a understanding, hey, okay, why are you scared of this?
Right.
So let's talk about it. Why are you scared of this particular thing? Why does this scare you more than other things? And really deal with that a little bit in conversation, in prayer, in scripture. I even think back, was it Winston Churchill that said, all we have to fear is fear itself?
Right.
Well, I would say.
Do you know I said right? And I don't have
it. Yeah, I think it was him.
Sure.
And I would say kindly to one of the great men to ever walk the planet.
Wrong.
There was a lot of other things to fear. I mean, you know, we had war and we had, like, it wasn't just fear of fear, but it was like, right, legitimately there's some things to be afraid of. And so
I don't know if you've looked around, sir.
I mean, I appreciate you're a great orator, but like there's a lot of things we need to
do. You're going to make for a great quote that Jason and Andrew aren't going to remember who actually said it.
I'm pretty
However,
sure it was him.
But no, yeah. I think so.
And so there's moments of look when we find ourselves in those fearful moments, I do think there's a part of us that needs to address it, not just bury it and go, I'm going to push through. But really say, why is this something I'm afraid of? I remember when Aaron and I were dating,
she had tons of fears.
Well, I had strong commitment issues because I saw my parents split. I saw my brothers have relationships end terribly.
Right.
And so anytime I felt like it was getting close to like, we might be getting really serious, I would pull back.
Yeah.
And it took me some time and Aaron talking to and some prayer to be like, no, I'm scared. That's what I'm just fearful of what could happen. And so I'm not allowing for this to go further. And I think addressing that and recognizing it allows us to move past it.
Yeah, that's really insightful. Way to go, Andrew.
Thank you.
Really good. No, I think that, you know, you talked about being a parent and so last night I was actually texting with, a coach, okay, and
Barnes, he, Coach Barnes,
yeah, Coach Pruitt. Barnes, and he was like, Yarn "Hey, man, text. What did you feel about the game last night? And do you think Vescovi's got the
He's
real
amazing.
Deal?"
And I was best like, player
yeah,
on
I think
team.
So and so, anyways, but we were talking about a certain situation that one of my boys was probably going to be put in, and how really he has earned that right and how ultimately like he'll flourish in it. And yet he probably has a little bit of apprehension in it. Not the coach, but my son. And let me be very clear to say, like, I'm not like in the coach's ear. This is not that case. Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I actually said this statement. I was like, I wish he didn't have that fear.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you just described a minute ago. Like, sometimes we're like, oh, I just, you know, just push through it, man. Suck it up. Be tough. You know, all that other stuff. And yet, like, if I was a good parent, which I like to think some days I can be, but like, why not sit down and say, hey, like, man, like, what concerns you about, what concerns you about having the ball in your hand in this situation?
Yeah.
You know, like, what concerns you or what is that that's there, you know, and talk about it. But the maybe the larger principle is we have to do some self-talk for ourselves at times in the same way that I probably need to walk him through some things. I mean, like, why am I fearful of X? Why am I fearful of this? Like, what is that? And as you said, just identifying it for starters and not just being like, oh, I just got to push through it. But like really taking a moment to reflect upon it. And you know, for me, I would say, there are various degrees of fear, just like there's various degrees of anxiety and all of those things. And I have on this show and with our church have continued and will continue to be an open supporter. In fact, I literally just received a text while we were on air, from my counselor.
Yeah.
And so if you're into a degree of fear that you're like, man, I can't just kind of do some self-talk. Like I need to bring this, to the forefront and I need to speak to either a trusted friend. I need to connect with a pastor. I need to connect with a counselor. Please, please, please hear me. There is something noble in doing that. Like that is admirable. Not holding things close to the vest and thinking you can just somehow work through it. And that there really is something really, really healthy about that. And so I agree with you. I'd say it's a piece of identifying it, and actually doing the hard work of looking at it and wondering why that is. And then kind of saying, all right, if I can't get to the bottom of that myself, or I need someone else to process that with me, I'm going to invite some other people into it.
Well, and when you invite other people, they need to be the type of people that aren't going to scoff at
Correct.
Your fear. They need
what?
To be, oh, you're scared of that? Which yeah. guys are good
well,
at
I ain't scared.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's
yeah.
wrong? You know, like,
which,
thank you,
which
sir.
Guys are good at, yes. At that. You know, even I remember the shirts from back in the day, the no fear shirts,
yeah.
you know, bottom of the ninth.
Oh, yeah.
Two outs, bases loaded, you're down by three. No fear. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be terrified
That's
to be
exactly
at the plate.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't function.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't mean we don't have to act like
so,
there's not fear.
And I think there's part of it is in that scenario or any scenario, metaphorically, going to the plate in that fear.
Right.
And dealing with it then is better than saying, I'm not scared. And
right.
in reality, you're bottling all that up.
Well, I've found even like with anxiety that, that it is intimately It is really close to some things that are actually really positive.
Yeah.
Like you know, so as you know, I've done this dietary reset,
yeah.
detox, all this other stuff. And so for a few weeks, especially like the first several weeks, man, like my brain was firing at such a notable difference. And I've always felt like I've been productive. But man, like I was just like
yeah.
flat out like firing like in a good way. And I was so amped up with productivity, it almost though I would get home and was like on edge. Cause I was like, oh my, it's like,
yeah.
like I had had 10 cups of coffee,
yeah.
you know? And it was like this weird balance of like almost stress and health were really close. Well, in the same way, like, yeah, fear can be this thing that we're like, man, like that's really paralyzing. And yet also, things like concern mm-hmm. and things like value and desiring to do well or desiring to succeed or desire to care for your family are good things.
Absolutely.
And so again, you just got to process through it, got to think through it, find the best in who
identify
you are.
Identify it is
identify.
Very important.
Yeah,
yeah
we'll
talk
be back.
More.
Makes me fly like an eagle, higher and higher every day.
So while we're off air, Jason, we're talking about the basketballs, and they played a great game last night against Arkansas. I watched it. Here lately, I've been watching it on delay. So I'm recording it, waiting until everybody goes to bed, and I'm watching it. So last night, I finished it after midnight. I finally finished the game, and I stay off of social media, so I don't know what happens.
Yep.
But there are some shining spots. And this basketball team,
man.
We knew it was going to
be
rebuilding. We knew after Grant and Admiral and Kyle and Bone all left last year, we knew this year was going to be a little tougher than Lamonte Turner goes down.
Yep.
And Viscovi comes in and just is unbelievable.
I said last night as I was breaking it down with, you know, Bob
sure,
Kessling after the game
that.
And, you know,
yeah.
just the voice of the Vols was reaching. No, I was just with a couple of my buddies. But we were talking and I said, it's odd because obviously we've lost a decent share
yeah.
of games. We are far on the outside looking
yeah, not,
in for the
not,
tournament.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't, to me personally, doesn't feel defeating because you see one, you see we've got so much youthfulness and you see that they like, you can like clearly see their upside.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like even, you know, our big 7-footer, you know, like man,
there's some upside.
You forget
yeah.
he's a freshman.
Yeah, he's
you
not,
know, like
yeah.
Viscovi's put 20 points in last night. Man, like this is
Viscovi's played out of his mind.
Exciting, you know. You
yeah.
Josiah James, and you know, you like these guys, and then you got 2 5-stars coming in next
yeah.
year.
I mean,
like,
next year is going to be
it's going to be special.
Well, and Fulkerson's finally getting the opportunity he deserved.
Right,
I mean, he came in, he was highly touted. He was even highly recruited, more so than Grant Williams even. But Grant Williams turned out to be one of the best SEC players ever. And so, but Fulkerson's playing out of his mind and they're just fun to watch. And so I do believe every game, there's been times in the past where there was many games I thought we had no chance. I believe right. every time we play, we have a chance of winning.
I would agree. And it's been fun. Like I said, they're likable guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's one thing I really do love about Barnes. Like, man, like, and I will also say it's not just Barnes recruiting. I think that's a huge piece of it. And they're looking for yeah. a certain kind of fabric of a player and things of the sort. But even like Vol Hoops Media, man, yeah. they do a fabulous job of telling like the yeah. stories of these yeah. boys. And even like Ticket Gaines or what's his, Devontae Gaines.
Yeah, yeah.
They call it, his nickname's Ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
Because back in high school, it was like, it's the ticket to come yeah. like
well,
to see that guy.
Well, he was quite
the
offensive player, yeah.
But like, I don't know if you saw a story that came out a week or two ago, but he was like shot as a kid. Like
legit,
on a basketball
wow.
court.
Oh wow.
And like, you know, grew up in this really tough situation and is like really flourished and
yeah.
I mean, you're like, man, this is like just.
Well, I think what we're seeing over the last few years, football and basketball, we're seeing kids just want to be here in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And our Knoxville boys want to stay here in Knoxville and our Tennessee guys want to stay here in Tennessee. And so it's going to be fun. I know that we shouldn't be breaking down sports, but this basketball team's fun to watch. And so last yeah. night was, I needed that.
Anything?
I needed that for my soul.
So and before we go, congratulations, on your national news debut.
Oh, I did. Yeah. yeah.
Dare we share?
Twitter is a dangerous
dare
thing.
Dare we
man.
Share what happened? Just
yeah.
a very,
yeah.
on,
just
on,
quickly.
Overview,
like
yes.
if you follow me on Twitter and some folks from Shoreline have come up to me and mentioned they follow, they don't like a retweet and they don't really post, but they come up to me in person and kind of retweet by saying, "Hey, I saw what you tweeted and I appreciate it." And so a lot of what I tweet is about abortion and life and
life again,
that we need
his
to,
role
yeah,
with,
at Hope Resource,
with Hope Resource Center. Right.
And so the other day I just tweeted out a video about a political candidate who's running for office and is very extreme on abortion. And I just simply said, finally somebody held his feet to the fire and Meghan McCain on The View did that. That's all I tweeted. And
right.
I just went about my business.
Right.
And then somebody on my staff. Well, and it was retweeted a few times by some national folks, but no big deal. And somebody on my staff texted me and was like, "Hey, was that your tweet I saw on Fox News?" And I thought, "Oh no, I hope not. I hope it wasn't. That's not that, you know." And sure enough, on a Fox News article, one of those national pro-life leaders retweeted my tweet.
Correct.
And so it was on the news. Like it was on the story. And, I was
congratulations,
like,
congratulations.
That, you talk about fear and anxiety.
Yeah. Cause you're like,
seeing
what,
that,
what,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh, which tweet did they
yeah,
pick?
Yeah.
you know, I went, there was a number of times, in the last few days where I've gone and made my tweets private and then made them unprivate and private
oh,
thinking, I don't know what do I do? And so, but it wasn't that bad. And yeah, it, you know, whatever.
I
watched Fox News?
Well, you've
life?
Arrived.
Yes.
You've
yes,
arrived, man. Congratulations.
And so,
you've arrived.
All that to say my pay for the show is going to go way up.
I would think
way
so.
Way up.
I would think
at
so.
At least double it.
Yeah.
And so next week I'll get nothing just like
yeah.
this week.
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of the way it works, I'm afraid. So, well, man, we are, we're just going to continue to plug along each and every week as we think
it's
about
fun.
Issues between
yeah.
Sundays. And, again, if we can ever serve you guys in any other way, if you want to reach out to us and say, "Hey, talk about this," we'd be honored to do
yeah,
that.
We love
if
that.
If we can conquer it, we'll try our best, or if at least we can attempt to conquer it, we're certainly willing to try our best. We'll talk to you next week.